this afternoon is the Egyptian compromise. I'm so sorry, IT, I didn't give you and you did not remind me. I didn't give you that topic and you didn't remind me. The Egyptian compromise. I hope the IT will be able to get that title and put it on the screen. The Egyptian compromise. Father, as we go into the study of your word, may you reveal yourself more and more to us and bless us in the name of Jesus. May our spiritual lives be strengthened as we eat of your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name we've prayed. So our story this afternoon is taken from the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is the book of redemption, if I may say. Because the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt is a picture of redemption. We've been taught the meaning of redemption in this church. To redeem is to get back what was originally yours. The Egyptian compromise. The Egyptian compromise. Israel belonged to God, but we are enslaved in Egypt. So God had to redeem them, bring them back, bring them out of that slavery, bring them out of that bondage. That is a type of redemption. God had to bring them out and made them free again. That is redemption. And that is the first Exodus. Even what the Lord Jesus is doing for us under this dispensation of grace is called an Exodus, the second Exodus. This time around, God is bringing out us from the Egypt of the world. God is delivering us from the Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the king of Egypt. But the Pharaoh we are facing today is the god of this evil world. And our own Egypt is the world. Are we together, church? So our redemption in Christ is also an Exodus. That is why it is called the second Exodus. The Lord Jesus is bringing us out of the Egypt of this world and is taking us to our promised land. He's bringing out of the Egypt of sin, the Egypt of the world, and is leading us to glory. Praise the living God. But there is something interesting to note in the story of the children of Israel leaving Egypt. I'm happy that several people are paying attention. Although some people are struggling with sleep. If you see your neighbor sleeping, help him. Because when the prophets were prophesying, they were not sleeping. Praise the living God. We notice something. God sent Moses to Egypt. In primary school, we used to sing a song. Go down, go down, go down to Egypt. And tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. But there's something interesting in that story. When Moses came to Pharaoh, who is the god of Egypt, because Pharaoh is seen as the son of the gods, he's deified. Pharaoh is seen as the god in the flesh. When he came to Pharaoh, the god of Egypt, and passed the message, Pharaoh refused. Pharaoh did not let Israel go. How many of us know the story? Of course. Pharaoh did not just listen. Moses didn't just come and say, Pharaoh, thus said the Lord of the Hebrews, let my people go. No. Pharaoh looked at him. In fact, let's read it. Exodus chapter 5 from verse 1. Exodus chapter 5 from verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Can you see Pharaoh's reply? And Pharaoh said, hey, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. If Pharaoh were a Yoruba man, he would say, bekele, bekele. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee. How many days journey? Note that statement. 3 days journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And Pharaoh said unto them, wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, why are you letting the people from their works get you unto your burdens? Verse 5. And Pharaoh said, behold, you the children of Israel, you are many. And you, Aaron and Moses, you are making them to rest from their labor, Abi. Verse 6. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taxmasters of the people and their officers, saying, don't give the children of Israel straw to make brick again, as you have been doing. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks that they are making must not go down. Because it is because you people are idle. That's why you are coming to tell me, let us go and sacrifice to our gods. It's because you are idle now. Verse 9. Let there be more work laid upon the men, that they may labor therein. And can you imagine Pharaoh? Go back to verse 9. I've not finished it. And let them not regard vain words. That was the first demand. This was the first demand. This was the first time Moses and Aaron appeared before Pharaoh to demand for the release of Israel. Pharaoh rejected. He refused. He said, I will not let you go. If you can read on, then you get to Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. The second demand. Exodus chapter 7, verse 10. They came to him again. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and they did as the Lord commanded. This time around, they came with a miracle. They want to show power. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant. And his rod became a serpent. Then Pharaoh must have looked at Moses and said, cheap magician tricks. You are turning stick to snake in front of me. It's like you don't know, you have not heard of Egypt. You don't know who Egypt is. You don't know what Egypt is. When it comes to power, now we'll be geo of power, of magic. Pharaoh called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, what did they do? They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. But there was something that happened. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. But still yet, Pharaoh did not listen. And he added Pharaoh's that he hearkened not to them as the Lord had said. So even at this second demand, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. He refused to let Israel go. Now see the third demand. Verse 14. The same Exodus. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Okay, let's increase power. Let's increase anointing. Go unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he is going out unto the water. You will stand against him by the river's brink when he comes. And that rod that you turn to a snake, take it in your hand, verse 16. And you will say unto him, the Lord God of Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, you have not listened. Next verse. Thus said the Lord, in this you will know that I am the Lord. I will smite the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptian shall load to drink of the water of the river. Praise God. And the Lord did it. It happened exactly as... Okay, let's read it. The Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt and upon the streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And what happened? All the waters that were in the river turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died. The river stank. The Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Imagine. And the magicians of Egypt, what did they do? Oh, please read with me now. I'm not reading in Greek. The magicians of Egypt did what? They did so with their enchantment. Still yet, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I will not let them go. Even at the third demand. Moses did not give up. God told Moses, go again. Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. The fourth demand. Any enemy that has refused to let you go, the Lord will put them to shame in Jesus' name. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Your river will bring forth frogs abundantly. They will go up and come into your house, your bedroom, your bed, into the house of your servants, upon thy people, into your oven, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frog shall come up both on the people and upon all thy servants. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And what happened? Aaron did it, and the frogs came. Next verse. The magicians did so again. With their magic, they also brought up frogs from the land of Egypt. Verse 8. This time, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. What did he say? He said what? Beg the Lord for me that the frogs go. And what will I do? And I will let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 9. And Moses said unto Aaron, glory over me. When do you want these frogs to go? Next verse. I'm paraphrasing because of time. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, from thy servants, from thy people. They shall only remain in thy river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. And they gathered them upon heaps, and the land stank. Now, see this 419. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, what did he do? He hardened his heart. And acting not unto them as the Lord has said, he didn't let them go. That was the fourth demand. But at the fifth demand, Exodus chapter 8, verse 20, something changed. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. He is coming forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses. And the houses of Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day, I will separate the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh did what? He called for Moses and for Aaron. What did he say? Go. At the fifth demand. Five is the number of grace. He says what? Go. Go ye. But see, there is a compromise attached to that go. I don't know if you are reading what I'm reading. Please hang that scripture. Go ye. Go and do what? Sacrifice to your God. But where? Where? The sisters are the ones responding. Sacrifice to your God where? In the land. Was that God's commandment? Oh, please pay close attention. That was not God's commandment. Okay, let's read on to verse 27. Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Verse 26. And Moses said, it is not meet for us to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. It's okay. You may remove the scripture. There was a compromise with that go. God's demand from Pharaoh was not just let my people sacrifice. The demand of God was let them go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to me. Are we together? That was God's demand. We saw that in Exodus chapter 5, verse 3. We read it earlier. Let's read it again. Exodus 5:3. He said, the God of Hebrews has met with us. This was what Moses told Pharaoh. This was the message that Moses brought. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God. But what did Pharaoh tell them? Go, but sacrifice in the land. In other words, don't go 3 days' journey into the desert as your God demanded, but go and offer the sacrifice to your God in the land. Brethren, that was the first compromise. It was a compromise. That was the first Egyptian compromise. What are these Egyptian compromises? I define them as conditions given to the people of God from Pharaoh to make them serve their God otherwise than their God requires. Did you get me? The Egyptian compromises are conditions given to the people of God from Pharaoh to make the people of God serve their God different from the way that God required from them to serve him. When God says, go 3 days' journey into the desert and offer sacrifice to me, Pharaoh is saying, don't go 3 days' journey. Offer the sacrifice in your land. That was the first compromise. Don't worry, when we drive it home, you understand that God is talking to you and I. Praise the living God. It is similar to what Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. He said, some people have a form of godliness, but do what? They deny the power thereof. I hope it's verse 8 or verse 5. These Egyptian compromises we are talking of, they are 4 in number. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away. When we say the Egyptian compromise, let me define it again so that you get it. God required that his people should go 3 days' journey in the desert to offer sacrifice. But here is Pharaoh telling them, no, you will not go 3 days' journey. Go and sacrifice to your God in Egypt. I know somebody is spiritual. Your antenna is on now. You're already trying to digest the revelation. Pharaoh is telling the people of God, don't go 3 days' journey, but sacrifice to your God in Egypt. In Egypt. If they remain in Egypt, won't they continue to be in slavery? I hope you are with me. These are simple Bible stories. That is the compromise. Compromise number one. That is what we see in verse 25. I said there are 4 in number. Let's take it one after the other. The first compromise is Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. Sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said what? Church, can we all read it together? 1, 2, go. Go ye, sacrifice to your God. Where? In the land. That was the first compromise. The people must leave Egypt if they are to obey God. They must go 3 days' journey in the desert if they are to obey God. We are not talking about the children of Israel. We are talking about you and I. Because the Egypt of today is the world. And our Pharaoh is the God of this world. The Egypt of today, spiritual Egypt, is the world. And the Pharaoh is the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 calls Satan the God of this world. God is telling his children, leave Egypt. Go 3 days' journey in the wilderness to serve me. The 3 days' journey to the people of God, already the people of God, are the 3 works of grace that follow revelation. That's justification, sanctification, and glorification. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. These are the works of grace. God is telling his children, leave Egypt and go through this process to serve me. But the first compromise, Egyptian compromise, what Pharaoh is telling the children of God today is, don't leave Egypt. Stay in the world and serve God. It's a compromise. The painful thing about this is many people are falling to these compromises. There are 4. We will see the 4 as God will permit us this afternoon. Stay in Egypt and offer your sacrifice. When you remain in Egypt, you remain a slave. You are still in bondage to Pharaoh. You are not free. You can't even offer the sacrifices that are required because they are abominations to the Egyptians. So in other words, what Pharaoh was telling Israel is, just stay, go and be religious. Go and be religious. Brethren, God requires from us more than religion. If all that God wants from you today that will take you to heaven is to go to church, then everybody is saved. It takes more than identifying with Jesus to be saved. That was the first compromise. Stay in the world and worship your God. In other words, don't leave Egypt. Stay in the world. Just be religious. Go to church. What is your religion? Christianity. Who is your God? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a member of Bride Assembly Church. I give my tithe and offering. I go to church. People that have accepted this compromise are people that have no salvation experience at all. The first step, the way you leave Egypt, our own Egypt, and I'm talking of Egypt, forget the physical one, I'm talking of the world. It begins with repentance. Every true Christian today can tell you the day he repented. In the language of today, we say the day he gave his life to Christ. The people that have accepted this compromise are people who are in the church, but they have not given their life to Christ. They are people who call themselves Christians, but are still in the world. These people have no conversion experience at all. They have no repentance experience at all. They might be in the church, prophecy might pick them, Jesus might heal them. But yet, they have no experience where they say, this was the day I believed on the Lord and started serving him. As far as they are concerned, it is just let me go to church. For these people, there is nothing concerning sin that matters to them. There is nothing concerning sin that matters to them. And many of them, the church of today, the popular churches of today, that is how they are. When I saw a video where a popular pastor, they call him celebrity pastor. He's a vlogger that called him celebrity pastor. Hear the testimony of a pastor. Where's Tolani Badge? Then Tolani Badge came out. I don't know who knows Tolani Badge. She was one of the runner-ups of Big Brother Ninja. At the pulpit of the church. The pastor said, where is Tolani Badge? She came out. She has a testimony. I saw the video. Yes, I want to thank God. About 2 years back, Papa prophesied to me that I was going to be a celebrity. Papa prophesied to me that I was going to be a celebrity. And how she ended up, I don't know whether she was the winner or runner-up in BB Niger. But the thing that gave her fame, she is now a DJ. A popular DJ. So she's testifying in a Christian church that see what the God of the Papa has done for her. That's the first compromise. She is still in Egypt. So what is the salvation experience? Leaving Egypt begins from departure from sin. Our own Egypt is not left physically. It begins from departure from sin. If you have not had your own repentance experience, you are still in Egypt. None of us was born at the altar of Bread Assembly. There must be a day that you know you gave it all up to Jesus. That your repentance began. That was the day you started your journey out of Egypt. The people that have accepted this first compromise, they call themselves Christians, but they are still in the world. So what does that woman testifying, what can she say about Jesus? When the angel was talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, talking to Mary, says she shall bring forth a son. Matthew 1 18. Now the birth of Jesus, okay, she was found with child of the Lord. Go to verse 20. There's something he said. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21. This is my emphasis. She shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. What will this Jesus do? He will save the people from their sicknesses. Go back to verse 21. That's my emphasis. What will he save his people from? From their sins. So the ministry of the Lord Jesus is to remove man from Egypt. That is why the Lord Jesus is our own Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Moses was for the first Exodus. Jesus is for the second Exodus. Moses brought out the people from physical Egypt. Jesus is bringing you and I from spiritual Egypt. But how can we accept the compromise of Pharaoh to serve God in the land, in Egypt? So to these people, just attach Jesus. Now, I'm not talking to those people outside, because such characters abound in Bible Assembly also. Nothing concerns this category of people with holiness, repentance. Brother Chinedu was teaching us about the Esau, what's the title? Character of Esau today. Nothing concerns these people. They are just like that. They can be bona fide church members. All they know the Lord Jesus for is what he can do for them. But you see, to these ones who are in Egypt, there is nothing like life transformation. They have not repented. I'm talking to people in this church. To these ones, that is why somebody can be in this church and be practicing fornication, and there is nothing checking him. No remorse, no condemnation. That's such a person is still in Egypt. You are serving God in the land. Nothing checks you. Such people will be in the church. They can dupe you. It's not everybody you should do business with in the church. Confirm before you do business with anybody. As they say, so that we will not hear stories that touch. I thought we were brothers. You only thought. Remain in Egypt. It means you will continue to be an Egyptian slave. The first compromise. Don't leave Egypt. Serve God in the world. Serve God in the world. So I'm a member of this church, but everything about me, if I should check my phone, everything is worldly. My lifestyle is worldly. They are such that when you jam them outside, you will see them on trousers and earrings and colored hair. But now they are seated with us in the church. They are holy garments because they know they will not be allowed to enter inside this church. That's all, not because of anything. And these people in Egypt, they are not ashamed of it. I'm not talking of those that still feel condemned and hide their worldliness. I'm talking of those that it doesn't mean anything to them. I'll come to church on Sunday, but on Saturday night, I'm in beer parlor. A sister we have all manner of boyfriends that she spends the weekend with. An Egyptian. The business you do and you're a member of the church is fraud. You are an Egyptian. You are still serving God in Egypt. You have bowed to the compromise of Pharaoh. Are we together? Somebody praise the Lord. That is the first compromise. They are the unbelieving believers. Dead men in the church. No, conscience is not grieved when they do wrong. They are the type that when you preach righteousness to them, they persecute you. Actually, do I saw you blasting this morning talking? Just be ready to face arrows. Not from outside though. Be ready to face some arrows from church members. From some church members. Why some people will see you and appreciate you that, brother, thank you for the sermon you preached. Some will see you and start carrying face for you and start persecuting you. So tell me, such a person, is he not fulfilling the character you taught us this morning? Egyptians in the church. Because if you remain in Egypt, you are still an Egyptian citizen. That was what Pharaoh was doing. He didn't want them to be free. So these people are church members, but they are not saved. They have not even repented, not to talk of converted. Dead men in the church. They're plenty of dead men in the church. There are many unbelieving believers. And the funny thing is they can pray. It's even worse if they are gifted. But yet, no salvation. As in, nothing. How can a Christian live in sin and nothing pricks your heart? You are not yet a Christian. It is one thing to fall. Another thing for something to check you. Another thing for something to condemn you and rebuke you. But the fact that you are not even checked when you sin. Not that you are still in Egypt. You are there. So as I'm talking like this, I'm not expecting such a person to listen to my sermon. Because as he's entering the left ear, he's coming out of the right. That's the first compromise. Stay in Egypt and serve your God. Let's move on. It didn't end here. Because Moses refused. Verse 26, Exodus chapter 8. Moses said, no, we cannot serve God in Egypt. It is not meet for us to do so. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians. Because the way of the righteous is an abomination to the unjust. And the way of the wicked is an abomination to the righteous. Light and darkness has nothing in common. So since you became a Christian, what light are you giving? Let's read on. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? So it is impossible to stay in Egypt and serve God. We insist, verse 27, we insist we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Pharaoh changed the compromise. Now this is where many of us fall. I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you will not go very far away. In fact, pray for me, self. Entreat for me. That was a serious compromise, though. It was a higher modification of the previous one. You may remove the scripture. What is the essence of living in Egypt and not living far? If we go 3 days' journey, it is far enough. I mean, a journey that will take us 3 days is far now. If Pharaoh wants to start pursuing them, he has at least 3 days to meet up with them. So that is far enough. So what Pharaoh is telling them, you can go out of Egypt, be in the borderline. Don't go far. I'm talking about the Egypt of the world, brother. Many of us are falling for this compromise. Leave the world, but don't be far from the world. In fact, pray for me. All the worldly sinners, they know you. Say, now you, they go church. They even tell you, pastor, pray for us. But you are not far. Your lifestyles are still equal. Once in a while, you know, still you are the borderline. That is the estate of many of us. The second compromise. Leave Egypt, but don't live far. Stay near. A very subtle one. Be a Christian, but don't be far from the world. So when I look at you, you say you're a Christian. I can see fruit of Christianity sometimes. Then you are still covered in the world. It be like say, it be like say, it be like say, it be like say. They look at you in the market. Now you shout Holy Ghost fire pass. Your Bible is big. When they want to do evangelism in your market, you are the organizer. But let's see the lifestyle. There's no difference between you and the person serving a Amadiowa. There's no difference between you and the person that has made it clear. I saw an excerpt. I didn't see the full video. Where, whether it's Terry G or who, was saying that all this song, what would they sing? Now Satan would they serve? I can't comment much on it because I did not watch the full video. It was just an excerpt. And I was like, eh? He said, no, nothing saying that God would they go serve. And saying that Satan, he was saying it in a video. I don't know how many people saw it. You saw it too. So, borderline Christian, you come to a holiness church. When we see you now, everybody, you know, it is not on Sunday you know a Christian. Okay, let me come home. It is not on Sunday that you know a true bride of Jesus. All of us now are on holy garments. Everybody is sanctimonious now. All around, in fact, everybody seated there now has the Holy Ghost. It's when we go out that some of us will throw away the Holy Ghost we have. Go and and serve your God, but don't go far from the world. Friend of Jesus and friend of the world. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. I have news for you in James chapter 4, verse 4. So if you think you can befriend Christ and befriend the world, know that you have made yourself an enemy of God. He says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, who is he? He's the enemy of God. If you don't read it, I will read it for you. So, who are those that bow to this compromise? Our pastor calls them borderline believers. People that are bona fide church members come to the church, but their lifestyle is still worldly. The fruit of Egypt is still manifesting. Their mindset is still Egypt. Their vision is still Egypt. Pharaoh was a wise man. He knows that when he says, don't go far, stay, the people will not be able to think out of the box. All their focus will still be on Egypt. Egypt, Egypt. So you cannot stay close to the world and not be soaked in the world. It's not possible. Apostle Paul told us in Galatians 6, he says, be not deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows is what he will reap. If you sow to the flesh, Galatians 6, 7, he says, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you will of the spirit, verse 8, reap life eternal. He that sweat to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sweat to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. So how can you say you have given Christ your all? These people, the funny thing about this particular second set of people that fall for this compromise, they might have repented. They are convinced. Because several people who might be watching now, this might be your own condition. You are actually convinced about Jesus and you know he's the way. But you are still befriending the world. You are the borderline. You are still befriending the world. So you are like this, in and out, in and out, center, in and out. That is the condition of many of us. How do I know? When we have opportunity to now manifest the worldliness, we see it. What do you discuss, Christian? How do you dress outside the church, Christian? How do you do business? You use the Egyptian method of prosperity to make money. The worldly method. How do you live your life? Don't come to church and put on a cloak of righteousness. How do you live at home? In a church like this, when Christians are celebrating, how do they celebrate? A Christian wedding, you see alcohol. Every time we keep ringing it as bell. But many of us still don't get it. You are close to the world. They want to celebrate. Me, I they do something. They do, so you will dictate how. It's simply because you have not made your faith known. Whenever we have opportunity to show that we still did the word, we show it. Some sisters, because you walk in a place, you will not want to show your holiness. You will see people that are dressed better than you in a more modest manner. But you want them to know I'm still one of them. You go to office, see what you wear. You don't wear it to church, but Monday to Friday, see what you wear. You are close to the world. Meanwhile, there's a Muslim in that office that is covered from head to toe. There is another Deeper Life member that is well-dressed. But you, this category of people, they can't suffer shame for Jesus. They just want to befriend the world. They are in and out, in and out. When you still feed on worldly entertainment, you are still befriending the world. If you start some songs now, it will surprise you how many people will help us complete the lyrics. Because a Christian knows it on your phone. Burna Boy, Davido, Beyoncé on your phone. And those are the songs you listen to. You finish listening to Nathaniel Bassey. The next song that will enter is Burna Boy, Christian. You are still befriending the world. What do you watch? How do you live? The song of Christians is glad day I was born again. It was a glad day I was born again. Because the things I used to do, I do them no more. You know you have repented. But you have not gone far. You are at the borderline. Many a times I don't like attending Christian wedding ceremonies again. Because if I go there, my integrity as a pastor might be abused. I'm a preacher of righteousness. We don't stay at the pulpit to make friends. You don't like our message, leave us alone. We are not a political party. We are a group of people that wants to go to heaven. It is called the Christian Brotherhood. And our foundation is the ground and pillar of the truth. So if you are offended by the truth, you are not a Christian. Get out of the church. You are not a Christian if you are offended by the truth. These people, some of them are still people that they know the truth, though. He go prick them small when pastor preach. They still go out and still misbehave. Don't go far from the world. Everybody knows. In fact, you know when you get, they know that you have given your life to Christ. The unbelievers call you pastor. But the same pastor will drink alcohol with them secretly. The same pastor will do bad business with them. The same pastor will fornicate and commit adultery with them. Another one is this category of people. They will not openly practice fornication, but they might be flirting secretly. You have not gone far from the world. And if you have not gone far from the world, you are still under the reach and the grip of Pharaoh. Brethren, Jesus is coming soon. Whether you like it or not. Every true child of God, you are having experiences that is making you know Jesus is coming soon. We don't have to come out and start saying, I saw Jesus, I saw this one, I saw that one. Every true child of God, you know something is going on. The greatest focus and vision of a true saint now is how to be perfect. That's the greatest focus and vision of a true saint, how to be perfect. We're all having experiences. I don't have to open my mouth and say the one I had again. Imagine if, I love that you branch there, my brother, Brachinedu. You say, at least if person say rapture, she say no go. But when person they see saying they go rapture, what is that telling him? The rapture is closed now. That's the meaning. Brother, let's wake up. There will be a great disappointment when the trumpet sounds. And the most disappointed people will be church members that add the truth. God is no respecter of anybody. He only respects those that respect his word. You want to agree with God. Two cannot work together except they be agreed. The word of God is given to us. You want to go to heaven, this is the blueprint. This is the compass. You fail at the word of God, you can as well say bye-bye to heaven. Run from Egypt. Don't be at the borderline. Don't allow Pharaoh lie to you that you should not go far. If we remove the scarf of some of our sisters now, what do we see? All manner of Egyptian air. All manner of Egyptian air. You are not far from Egypt. You are still at the borderline. Things that we ought to have passed at this level in this ministry. All manner of Egyptian fashions our women still put on. Even some men. Egyptian talk. Egyptian conversation. Egyptian behavior. Envy, jealousy, anger, gossip. They are all Egyptian practices. Christians walk in love and humility. You have not gone far from Egypt. That is why you have class and faction in the church. That is why you can sit and cook up a story against a brother or sister. And that is why there is no forgiveness in you. You can plot evil against somebody in the church. In the church. Brother Chinedu, in your church. We will preach. That's what we will do. The end will justify who is right or who is not right. A showdown. There will be a showdown. You know what a showdown is? A contest where there can only be one winner. A contest where there can only be one victor. That is what a showdown is. For instance, I saw on the news, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury, they are planning for a showdown. We will know who will be the best boxer from the two of them. That's a showdown. Or the final of a football match. If they play extra time, they'll go to penalty. There must be one winner. A showdown will come. We will know who is the real Christian. The showdown will not come now. Let everybody continue manifesting and behaving anyhow. It will be at the rapture. When you get there that day, maybe some people you thought you will see. Where's Brother Lagbaja? Maybe in Jamaica will appear and tell you, he didn't make it. Say, that brother that shouted fire the most in the church. That's the showdown. So, child of God, don't be disturbed when it seems as if many people are not following the path that you are following. When I mean many people, I'm talking of many church members. When it seems as if some people are not taking the heavenly race serious, you don't be disturbed. Salvation is personal. You don't know why they're in the church. Man of God, I love your teaching so much. It's exciting me. Why didn't God give Isaac, only Jacob, only one son, to continue his lineage? Why did he give him Esau and Jacob? Why did God give Isaac, Esau and Jacob? Why did God give Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac? So there must be another category of people in the church. It's a fact. Run from Egypt. Stay far. Don't fall for the second compromise. You must go those 3 days' journeys. You must be justified. Repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. You must be sanctified, cleansed by the word of God. You must receive the Holy Ghost so that you can be far from Pharaoh. The funny thing about the people that are not far from Egypt is that they might have been baptized in Jesus' name. There are many people that way. God requires total separation from the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This one is speaking to those that are falling for the second compromise. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, run from Egypt, be far from Egypt, be ye separate. The Christian is supposed to be separate from the world. Separate in every way, by our conversation, our lifestyle, our dressing, our mindset, our thinking. Everything about a Christian is to be separate. When you're not far from Egypt, you profess Christ openly, but you're not separate from the world. You are professing Christ, but the worldly sinner is still seeing his fruit inside you. That is somebody that is not far from Egypt. When they will lie in the office, you will lie with them. When they will manipulate figures to make money, you are there with them. In fact, you will lead them in prayers before they start the iniquity. Hey, brethren, let us pray. You want to steal with Biro, brethren, let us pray. It is you that will call for prayer. You are not far from the world. In fact, you are the one disgracing God the most. It's better you don't leave Egypt at all than to leave and don't go far. Stay there. Let Pharaoh know that he's still there because you are just deceived. You give the people a false presentation of Christianity. If this is you, churches are increasing in Lagos, in Nigeria. It's like beside every church, a brothel is raised up now. It's like beside every church, especially in Lagos. Many streets are now called church streets. Check those streets very well. You might see brothels there too. Why? Because you have people that give the false presentation of Christ. They say they are Christians, but they are not far from Egypt. Run far from Egypt. Let's move on. The third compromise. You can't do the world and do Jesus. Christians that are covered with worldliness and trait of worldliness. Before we go to the top compromise, Matthew 5:13, what does it say? It says, ye are the salt of the earth. That's who the Christian is, Matthew 5:13. But if the salt have lost its savour, where we shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing. That's the Christian. When you lose the life of Christ, you are good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. So apply it to yourself. Where are you? Are you still in Egypt? Or you have come outside Egypt, but you are not far from Egypt? There was a third compromise. This one is a higher one. Exodus chapter 10, verse 8. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 8. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go, serve the Lord your God. Now listen, he said, but who are they that shall go? He's questioning them. And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. I hope you understand what you are reading. Now, go ye, only you, only the men, go, serve the Lord. For that was your desire. And what did he do? They were driven from Pharaoh's presence. So let the women stay. Let the children stay. Let only the men go. That is speaking of family ties. A family man, the only reason you are running up and down, wake up by 5 a.m. to go to market, come back by 9, is because of what? It's because of your family now. See, men, you're not answering me. That's the only reason. Why are you having sleepless nights? It's because of your family. Even if you're a single brother, the brother is thinking of his parents, his younger ones, his siblings. Especially if he's from the east, he's thinking of, I've not erected, built a house for my father in the village. So he's still family ties. That's the third compromise. What is he speaking of? This is speaking of our family ties, our traditions, our culture, and things that bolt us to the world. You allow me to pinch you a little this afternoon. This speaks of worldly ties, family ties, and things like that. Brethren, a call out of Egypt is a call out of the traditions of men. When you become a Christian, your new tradition is Christianity. This is a very hard saying. When you become a Christian, you are no longer a Yoruba man, an Igbo man. Firstly, you are firstly a Christian. Because if you are firstly a Yoruba man and an Igbo man, that tradition will affect your life. But when you are firstly a Christian, it is you that will control that tradition. There are many of us that our traditions and our family ties still control us. If not, why will a Christian have alcohol in the party, in the wedding party? They will tell you it's because of my family people that are coming. My town people, my club people. That is the third compromise. That is it. That is the third compromise. Salvation is personal. If you won't go, get out of the way. No, just don't hinder me. I will kick you out of my way. If I tell you don't hinder me, if you won't go and you are standing in front of me, I will kick you away. You want to hinder me from going to heaven. But there are many of us that compromise because of where we come from. Brother, change your thinking. You are not firstly an Igbo man. You are firstly a Christian. You are not firstly a Yoruba man. You are firstly a Christian. So if what excites you is where you come from, I have news for you. I come from Zion. By the time this world is being consumed, you tell me where you will run to. If you run to the east and fire still comes back, you run to the west, fire still meets you there. It is only those that run up that will be saved from the fire. All the worldly things we boast of, they will end with this world. We've been saying it. Our daddy in the Lord came here and said that what binds you and I is stronger than what binds him with his own biological brothers and sisters. But many people don't catch it. Many of us are just religious, not revelated. Hear what the Lord Jesus said. Matthew chapter 10 verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Eh? Have you seen it in your Bible before? Maybe you saw it, but you did not read it very well. Let me help you read it very well. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's another place that he spoke of wife. So don't think it's only father, mother, and children. Brethren, don't let your culture or tradition cause you to compromise your faith. I didn't say you should not associate or do anything that is required of you. Sometimes you get funny questions. They want to bury somebody. They say we should print t-shirts. Should I as a Christian print? Why not? What is in that one? But when you have to start doing what they are doing, you have to drink palm wine with them. Go to shrine with them. You are holding a party, and because your people are coming, not that you are the one that wants to go and marry somebody, then this is the requirement. I mean, you a Christian, you're holding your party, and you don't have the backbone to let your people know you're a Christian. Then you will compromise. They can do whatever they want there. You are compromising. That's the talk compromise. Let your wife, your children, in other words, let your heart be in Egypt. Another thing about this talk compromise is not just family traditions or family ties, rather. Your children are what you labor for. Your investments, your family. So in other words, be weighed down by the cares of this world. You are only, you are living fine, but you are totally materialistic. If Moses had bowed to that compromise, the people will be in the wilderness. They are thinking of their wife. They are thinking of their children. In fact, they'll be telling Moses, do fast, do fast. Why is it that some people cannot wait till church till we close? Some people cannot come early to church. But if they have a business meeting, they'll be there. 9 a.m. service, some people can't meet it. Not even because they live very far. Not like somebody that is coming from Ajah or Ekpe. Somebody that is living on mainland cannot come to church by 9 a.m. But if the person has a business appointment by 9, the person will be there. What other justification do you need? Something is wrong, brother. And you are getting offended that I said it. Anytime I think about that, it vexes me so much. That a preacher stood and said, if you come late to church, wrong, it's wrong of you. And you are getting angry. I say it again, it's very wrong of you. It shows that something is wrong with your faith. No, let me help you balance it. You are falling for the talk compromise. Your family, your heart, everything is in Egypt. So you can't even stand the presence of the Lord so much. There are some people, if we are praying about material things, they will pray with you from morning to night. Let June camp start, Holy Ghost, fasting for Holy Ghost. They won't, if they even fast, they're fasting for breakthrough. Your heart is Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. That's where your children and your wife is. So all you're thinking of is how you'll be bolted in the world. You are living fine, no? You are not committing sin, no? But you don't have the heavenly vision. You are too bolted to this world. All you think about is how to make money, material things. You are not thinking of how you'll be raptured. As long as you're not living in sin, you are okay. In your diary, in your lifestyle, in your routine, there is no agenda to even know God better. To you, if I'm not fornicating, I'm not living in sin, they say we should not do this one. They should. It's more than that. You must also have time to have relationship with God. Thought compromise. Our family ties. And the earthly things that we labor for. That makes us too earthly bound. That we cannot move when the pillar of fire is moving. It is this category of people that the reason they go to church is just the anointing, not the word of God. But they live right. And they might have small room for the word of God. Many of us fall into such category. I said it on Friday. Some of us are still babies in our Christianity, that a sister will leave this church to pastor a church. Then she will call you and give you revelation. You start shaking. Then you go the following day to her church and see her. It is a test. God cannot use any of them to speak to me. I said it that day. I said, anything that is beyond the prophets that are seated there, then it is no more a prophet case. Face God with it. But your anchor is not revelation. Your anchor is, you see, business, mammoth work, money, marriage, this one. Ha. Don't compromise, though. Because of time, let's move on. The fourth compromise, which is the final one. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. This time he allowed them, go with your family, go with your children, your wives. But let your flocks and your herds be stayed. In fact, go with your children, but leave all your animals, your flocks, your herds behind. Verse 25. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall go with us. We will not leave an oof behind. For there we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we know what must serve the Lord with until we come either. But the Lord added Pharaoh's heart, and he will not let them go. So what is Pharaoh saying this time? Go. But let your sacrifice remain in Egypt. What is he saying? Their herds, their flocks are what they will use to offer burnt offerings. So in other words, serve God without sacrifice. Oh, somebody is not getting it. Let me bring it home. Serve the Lord, but don't serve the Lord sacrificially. Have you forgotten Psalm 50 verse 5? Gather my sins together. Those that made a covenant with me by what? By sacrifice. Serve the Lord, but don't be sacrificial. Brethren, in serving the Lord, you must serve him sacrificially. The cross that we proclaim as the symbol of our faith also represents sacrifice. God requires sacrifice when serving him. Sacrifice of our time, of our resources, of our energy, of our strength, of our very self. Serving God goes with sacrifice. If not, how do you explain Luke chapter 9 verse 23? Luke chapter 9 verse 23. And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, what should he do? Let him do what? Let him deny himself. That's a sacrifice. Let him sacrifice himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. This is where even our resources come in. God didn't give you wealth so that you will build mansions in the world. Mansions that will be consumed by fire. God did not give you wealth so that you only be traveling around and be changing your wardrobes anyhow. Apostle Paul said, tell them that are rich in this world to be rich in good works also. Your talent, your skill, your time, your energy. Other than your coming to church, brother, sister, what other sacrifice do you offer to the Lord? So he's saying, go, but let your sacrifice be behind. Go and serve God, but don't serve him with sacrifice. I've said it time and over again in this church, that people that are professionals, artisans, the church will need you for something. Something that will not, maybe you won't spend more than a day to do. They will still charge us for workmanship in the church. Not in Brother Lumide's house, in the church. So which sacrifice is that person giving? Young brothers and young sisters, you have time. You have time that you can devote to praying, interceding. You won't. Your mate will come and clean the church. What are you doing? Your mates are serving in different departments. What do you do? On Thursday, some people will leave their businesses and come and do laborer work in the church. What sacrifice goes with your worship? All you know is to say amen and pray and pray. When you pray, are you not praying for yourself? That's no sacrifice. Our worship must be with sacrifice. Yeah, a group of men. You've been sitting down. They've been standing since morning. They are not paid for it. We are all inside the auditorium. Our cars are parked outside. There are church members that are watching over it. You've been dancing since morning. They are not able to dance. They are watching over your car. Sacrifice. But many of us, nothing like that. The one that pains me is when you now start talking of finances. That's when they start thinking you want to make their money. You want to collect money from them. It is not your money that is giving us fine suits. We don't use your offering to buy suits. It's not your money. It's not your offering. Not be one brother where they dash me this suit. It's not your money that is giving us suit. There are billionaires in this church. I know of one. You can't work with daddy and... Hey, pray for your pastor. If God doesn't back you up, you can have that attack as a pastor. So anytime you see a pastor fall under anointing, coordinators, be quick to look at him. He might not be anointing, he might be at attack. Because what pastors see and know, what pastors see and know is serious. Brethren, I don't need to talk much. Our worship must go with sacrifice. God desires it. God requires it, not just desires it. Sacrifice of everything you can think of, even of your very self. In conclusion, let us beware of Pharaoh and the Egyptian compromise. You know, he came to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, wanting him to compromise. But the Lord Jesus stood his ground and said, no. I won't compromise. Nothing can keep my mouth shut. Those that did not compromise made it to the promised land. If you compromise, if you fall for this Egyptian compromise, then bid heaven farewell. Please, you don't go to heaven by mouth, by confession, or by wish. A wise man said, if wishes were horses, what would happen? Beggars would have them. Right? You don't go to heaven by wish. For you to understand statements like continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Satan's goal is not for you not to make it. For you not to have money. All those ones are small, small demons and witches and wicked masses that are trying to frustrate us. Yes, Satan is the one anointing them. But Satan's real goal, his vision, agenda, is to deny man glory. Is to hinder us from going to heaven. So he will give you these compromises, and if you fall for it, you will continue to be a slave unto Pharaoh. The only way out is for us to come to God in true repentance and for us to ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Because truly by strength shall no man prevail. But have you truly repented? Are you truly convinced that the way you are going is wrong before you push it to God to help you? If you are not convinced and concerned, God cannot empower you. Enough is enough of I've been praying for the Holy Ghost. So that gives you license to continue in sin. Have you truly repented? It is for you to repent. It is for God to convert. You don't repent, God will not convert you. So if you continue pampering your iniquity, justifying your sin, you keep pushing the Holy Ghost far from you. If you like, continue following the anointing. Then it is worse when God is not speaking to you or using you, because it will stand to deceive you. Let us go to the Lord in true repentance and brokenness and ask him to help us that we will not fall for this division compromise. Let's bow our heads. I feel led. I don't know who wants to come to the altar to talk to the Lord. Please bow your heads. I don't know who wants to come to the altar to talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I need a total overhauling of my spiritual life. Wherever you are, talk to the Lord. If you still want to come to the altar and pray, it is open for you. You know your spiritual life. I know mine. The altar is open for you. You know your spiritual life. You know your estate. You know your condition. There's no time to waste. Jesus is coming soon, brethren.
Joy to the Savior.
The Lord is coming soon. Will His coming meet you with rejoicing? Are you deceiving yourself, living in compromise and thinking all is well? See you in the rapture, see you in the rapture. Ah, the rapture will take place and we will not see you. Don't think it's enough to be a worker in the church. That's not what Satan is after. Have you left Egypt? Are you far from Egypt? Oh, somebody talk to the Lord. I'm still giving you time. It's intentional. Not the time to play religion and look at anybody. Are you satisfied with your walk with God? Why are you still struggling with sin? Everybody knows you as a righteous brother and righteous sister, but secretly, you know what you do. So your righteousness is for the praise of men. You are being righteous so that men will applaud you.
In my life, come and take your place.
Talk to the Lord. You are the altar. You are here before God, not before any man. Wherever you are, all over the world, your TV screen is your altar. Just get on your knees and talk to the Lord Jesus. Help me to overcome this compromise, these Egyptian compromises. When I go to my office, what do I do? Do I still appear as a Christian? It's not enough for me to sing and dance. It's not enough for me to sing and dance. It's not enough for me to sing and dance. To the Lord.
Come in today. Come in today.
Oh, yes.
Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, into my heart. Into my heart.
Faithful God, we thank you this morning for the word you released unto us.